his disciples after he had spent some time in ministry with them. And what began to happen is that Jesus may have been hearing chatter. I'm not really sure. It doesn't say exactly why Jesus asked this question. But in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus begins to inquire of the disciples what people around them are saying. And we're going to read together this morning Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to begin in verse 13. And we're going to join in this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. I want you to walk with me for a little bit this morning. The series that we're going into for this month is called, "Who Do You Say That I Am?" It's extremely important for each of us as followers of Jesus Christ to have an answer to this question. We live in a society where so many people actually have this question in their hearts. They're wondering, they're wanting to know, even passively if it would be, who God is and why we're here. One of the things that's happening Tuesday night on this national debate is the real question is God real? That's the main question. It's not so much a scientific argument. It's more or less, is God real? The month of January was the Sanctity of Life month. January 19th was Sanctity of Life Sunday. And the whole question that was set out there was, is life precious? Because life could only be precious if somebody designed it on purpose. That's the only reason life could be precious. Someone has to have had a plan and knit us together. And Jesus asks this of the disciples. And the first question he asks is what we're going to look at this morning. The very first question that he asks is, who do people around you say that Jesus is? What are the people saying? What do they say? Because here's the reality. In Matthew chapter 16, there had been some interaction with the disciples. The 12 disciples were picked. They had been walking with Jesus in ministry for some time. And Jesus wanted to kind of get maybe a pulse of what was happening with his disciples. And we kind of look at it this way. If you're involved with something that you get really passionate about, chances are you're going to tell somebody. There's a good chance it's going to kind of bleed off of you in some way. Somebody's going to get information from you, whether it would be a new product that you tried at home. Maybe it's some new financial thing that you came across. Maybe it was a book that you really liked. Maybe it was a new product that you found, or maybe it's your new car and you're like, man, this car. I've never driven a car like this before. Maybe it's an outfit. I don't know. Maybe it's some really nice shoes that just feel as comfortable as walking in clouds. If something changes your life in some way, you tell other people. I don't care if it's your favorite cereal. Somebody's going to find out that there's something that you like and that has affected you in some way. And it doesn't stay a secret. And Jesus has been that for the disciples. I think that we would all agree that Jesus changed the lives of the disciples. Agreed? And at this point, even the people around Jesus, there was a lot of confusion because everybody was rooting for Jesus and loving Jesus, and then he would say stuff like, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they're like, whoa, what's this guy talking about? And they backed off, and they would disappear. And then next thing you know, he's healing people, and everybody's like, okay, I can do that. I want to get healed. That's cool. And then he's telling one guy, you know, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And they're like, whoa. And then he does a miracle. And they come back, and then it affects them in some way. But the disciples were the constant. So Jesus says to them, what are the people around you saying? Here's how I interpret it. If I can have a little bit of license here to do this again. As you've been with me for a while, the people around us have had contact with you. What are they getting from you? Who are they saying that I am? Because directly related to that is their relationship with the Lord. It's a direct connection. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going on here, but I think that you would agree with me that if somebody were to ask you, oh, well, you know, what's different about you? What has happened? Well, I've started doing this and I've started doing that. Eventually, it would come back to what has exactly changed in your life. So Jesus says to them, what are the people around you? And what I hear this happening is it's testimony time. It's time to say, this is what's happened. These are the way things are changing in my life. And in other words, it would be like training for life. This is the effect that's going on. This is the place that we're in. This is what God is doing in us. There is a direct result of serving Jesus and following him. What are the people saying? What are they saying? And are you willing and ready and able to have a testimony to talk about Jesus? What are the people around you saying? Let's personalize this now this morning before we go on to the next one. What do the people around you say? Who do the people around you say Jesus is? What kind of relationship do you have with them? Are you able to positively speak into their life? Are you able to say, this was something that really changed my life, and it wasn't dish soap. It wasn't some kind of new clothes. It wasn't some kind of really cool thing that I ate or some new program that I'm on. It was Jesus that came into my life. Have you been willing to say what is different in your life? Who are the people around you? What are they saying about Jesus today? And then Jesus takes it and he personalizes it, because once they say, okay, it was this thing, you know, some are saying John the Baptist, others are saying some prophet, others are saying Jeremiah. And Jesus says, okay, that's interesting information. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This morning, I would ask you to really look deeply into this, because it's one thing to kind of get riled up about someone who may not really know who Jesus is. But something that is a must in our Christian faith is that we need to know who Jesus is. I need to know. Common illustrations on this are everywhere, you know, and I've talked about this with you before. If I claim to be some kind of amazing mathematician, but I can't do a simple algebraic equation, or even say algebraic, if it's even a word. Did I make that word up? There's my mathematician right there. You know, if I can't even do a simple equation, then you're like, what kind of mathematician are you? If I say I'm a historian, and I can't even give you a list of roughly who the presidents are, you would think a historian could at least do that. If I tell you that I'm involved in some kind of field, but my knowledge in it is extremely limited, then what I've done is I've just discredited who I am and who I'm saying that I am. And that can be true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because whether you like it or not, when you identify yourself as a follower of Christ, your actions are giving permission to other people to act the way you act. And that's how I thought that would go over. Just kind of like that. It's unasked for. It's unsolicited. It's something that I didn't become a Christian so I could be an example to other people. I think you would agree with me on that, right? When I gave my heart to the Lord, I wasn't, look at me! I'm going to follow Jesus perfectly. But what happens is that when somebody says that they're a follower of Christ, instantly their actions and their lifestyle goes under a microscope. Just think about it, even in a celebrity's life. A celebrity comes out and they go, I'm a Christian. I was reading about a celebrity just the other day that just blew me away. I won't say his name because I might be one of the only people even, you know, he's an actor from the 80s and I might be the only guy that even remembers who this guy is. But he's like, you know, he's got all kinds of issues, drugs and he's been in and out of like insane asylums, all kinds of stuff. And about 10 years ago, this was right on his Wikipedia page, right there it says, and in 1997, he came out as a Christian. And he says, and I can finally be who I want to be because now I don't have to hide the fact that I'm a Christian. And then after that paragraph, it goes into all this listing of stuff that he's done that I'm like, really? You come out as a Christian and that's your lifestyle and that's your activity? Because whether he wanted to or not, there's some permission that's been given. Do you see how that works? I'm sure that we can say, oh, somebody can struggle with their walk. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when I identify myself as a follower of Christ, nobody is believing that I'm going to be perfect. But what they are believing is that when trouble does come, I'm going to have a resource and a place to go. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to admit to my faults and my shortcomings, and I'm going to get things right with the Lord. And what happens is that now we enter into this testimony time. Who do you say that I am? Speaking of Jesus, who is it that you say that I am? What have I done in your life? What has been the impact that Jesus has had on you? And are you willing to share a testimony that says this is who Jesus is? And I love hearing what Jesus has done in people's lives. Even these past few months, I've had great conversations with people that have had amazing things happen in business. Things have just kind of turned around for them. Amazing things that become available to people. And in their families, there's just been a tremendous turnaround. And when I meet with them and I talk with them, it's like this. You know, the Lord just opened this thing up and God really showed me exactly what to do and how to walk this thing out. And I love it that we can hear that testimony. And I would encourage you, if that is your testimony, begin to share that way with everybody, not just with your pastor, not just with the people that attend church, but if something incredible happens in your life, wouldn't you talk about it? And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? It's one thing for the people, but now we're going to personalize it. Who do you say? It's testimony time. It's training. When was the last time that you mentioned the work of Jesus in your life? When was the last time that you said, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be where I am today? When was the last time somebody heard you say that? When was the last time that you confessed Jesus as, just like what Peter did, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? When was the last time those words rolled off of your tongue? Because Jesus is saying, who do you say that I am? And then I want you to see what happens here is, first off, we find out the people that are connected with the disciples in general. And then Peter is the one who speaks up and says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And then what happens is that Jesus sets him in place. And now Peter moves into his calling by proclaiming Jesus Christ. The third thing that happens to us is that now we can move into our calling because we have said and we have declared, and Jesus says, now I can use you. Because look at the language that Jesus uses here. He says, it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you. It was from the Holy Spirit. It was from God the Father. He is the one who showed you that revelation. And because of that, now everything that I have is available to you. And Peter was released into his calling after the proclamation of who Jesus Christ was in his life. I want you to hold on to that. I want you to consider that. I want you to think upon these things. I want you to see that when Peter was walking with Jesus, and when he was seeing everything that was going on, that was all good. Peter was selected as a disciple. That was really cool and amazing. But then when Jesus comes to the fact of here's how ministry is released in your life, he says, what's the testimony of the people around you? What's your personal testimony? And since your testimony is about me, now I can use you and I can release you into your calling. This morning, these questions are being asked to you. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do the people around you say that Jesus is? And as you proclaim that, God says, now watch this. Watch what can happen. Because Peter was far from perfect. As a matter of fact, if you keep on reading the next few verses, Peter gets looked at by Jesus, and Peter is all about, no, you're not going to die. He's like, man, you got your posse all around you. We got your back. We're here for you. Jesus says, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. Peter goes, no, that's not going to happen. And after Jesus says these amazing things, upon this rock, you're awesome. God's going to do great things in you. Wisdom has come to you, not from man, but wisdom is coming to you from God. Get behind me, Satan. A few verses later. So Peter was not perfect, and that's not the point of what we're talking about this morning. We are not looking for a room full of perfect people to go out into the world and to live perfect lives. What we're looking for is somebody who will have a testimony. Somebody who will be willing to talk about something that has changed their life. Somebody who would be willing to say, God has changed my life and other people should know about it. And then someone who would say, God, I want you to use me. I'm just an empty vessel. I don't even know what I'm doing. God, use me. And that, my friends, was the life of Peter. He began to see that God really wanted to use him. Just how he was, but growing every single day. This morning, God wants to use you just how you are, but growing every single day. And that's what I want to do, is I want to be able to grow. I want to be able to grow. And I want people around me to know that I love Jesus Christ. I want my family to know that I love Jesus. And I want people that I come in contact with to know that I love Jesus. It doesn't take a degree or schooling to do that. It just takes this answer. Who do you say that I am? That's all it takes. Who do you say that I am? And if you answer that question, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, all right. Watch what can happen. now. Watch what can happen. And Peter became the father of the early church. And he was working a job day after day, going down to the docks and fishing, covered in slime. That had to stink. That had to smell. I don't like the smell of fish. And I don't even like the smell of the inside of fish. I don't like it. I need that puppy battered and fried. And I don't want it looking back at me. But Peter was working a job day after day after day after day after day after day. And Jesus came into his life. And it changed instantly. This morning, I just can hear it now. Who do you say that I am? And I believe that God is looking for a people that will answer that question every single day. That's what changes a generation. That's what changes the world for Christ. And it makes a huge difference. And there can be all kinds of things that can come up that you just don't have the answer to, and you're just like, God, I don't really know what it is exactly that you're trying to say or what you're trying to do. And that was kind of me. I didn't have a plan, really. When I gave my life to the Lord, I just kind of thought I would be one of those people who's living their life and living for Jesus and working a job. I didn't have like ministry in mind necessarily when I initially gave my life to Jesus. But I was really big time wanting to serve Him. And I wanted to be available for God to do stuff in me that I knew wasn't me. You know, I don't know about you, but I wasn't really a guy who suffered from low self-esteem. But I really, you know, if it came down to it, I never really thought, I wasn't a guy who was sitting around thinking, I got a lot to bring to the table. I just said, God, I want you to use me. This is the one. If I take that other one, the Joneses will have to be coming up with me too because the chairs are linked that way. I drag them up here. Told you we shouldn't sit in the front anymore. They don't feel that way. They love where they sit. They're guaranteed a seat every morning. Nobody sits in their seat. So, you know, it all starts out too just about praying about what God can do. And I when I was thinking of a way to kind of get the point across, I wasn't exactly sure how this was going to fit in. But I see that I have an opportunity. Let's see if this is going to work. I'm on now, I think. So, let's see how this works. Am I coming through? So, I'm not a. To me, I know. I've been leading worship for a while, but I'm not really a musician, honest. So, Did you say just get on with it? Father, we just end this service now because Alexa wants to. That doesn't keep it real. She didn't say that, I don't think. Did I mishear you? Oh. Cruise. If you knew me in the 80s, the list just grew and grew. Then one day I did away childish things, it's true. Dreams changed from me to her. What would she look like? What would she do? In the
this word, you will find.
Tomorrow is Alexa's birthday, and I really feel that there are things in my life that I can say I worked really hard for. But when you come into a place where you just say, God, I could have never orchestrated this. That's how I feel about my relationship with my wife. That of all the things that, if I could say I was concerned about, that was one. And if you have a desire to say, God, no matter what happens, I want to proclaim you as my testimony. I want you to know who I am, and I want the people around you to know who I am. There are things that I can't say that I was praying about my wife for 20 years. But when it became evident to me that without prayer, marriage was going to be an uphill climb, I said, man, I really don't want that. I want to be able to have a relationship with someone that I can feel at peace about when I go home. And that was my prayer. That's what I wanted. And I never knew that it was going to be as much work as it is. But man, I'll tell you what. When you're on the same page, it just makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Who do people say that I am? What does your heart say? Who do you say that Jesus is? And then, man, allow God to use you. And I really feel that in places where we can say, I want to have a testimony. There's a lot of places in our lives where we say, man, I wouldn't really want you to look there. Something that I am extremely proud about is my wife and the support that she's been in ministry. It is not easy being a pastor's wife. It's extremely difficult. And I would only wish it on my best friend. And she has given so much. The past 21 years that we've known each other, she has just been a support and a blessing. And I really wanted to honor her with that today and to let you know that there are things in your life that maybe you're saying, I don't know what my testimony is. And there, like I said, there's some things that maybe you're still working on. But God has a testimony for you. There's some things in your life that can really begin to move in the direction that God wants it to. And like I said, you know, I was messing around when this was probably about 2 months ago that I put that together. I thought, oh, that's kind of cute. I never thought I was going to sing it in front of you guys. And I knew better than to tell her that I was going to. But it's just a place of being able to say, God, thank you for what you've done. So I want you to stand with me this morning, and I wonder if you have something in your life that comes to mind where you can say, you know what, there's a few things in my life that I'm not sure about, but God, I am so thankful for this. Then let that begin the journey of your testimony for other people around you. Maybe there's some things where you just say, ah, this is not working out. I don't really feel like I have a testimony. Well, then begin to look and say, God, there are some things in my life I know you have done. And then begin to celebrate those things that God has done in your life. Father, we come before you this morning, and I am so grateful for the evidence of your work in the lives of those that are here this morning. You have a call and a purpose upon them. And God, today, I ask in Jesus' name that each one would begin to see the testimony that they carry in their lives for you. Who do the people around them say that you are? Who do I say that you are? And God, I just ask that you could use me in some way in your plan. If that's your prayer this morning, I just ask you to lift your hands right now. Say, God, use me in some way. Use me for the purposes of your kingdom today. Use me, Lord God. I don't know, but what I do know is that I love you and I want to be used by you. Father, in Jesus' name, you see our hands lifted high. And we say, God, use us today. We thank you and praise you and exalt you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah.